You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project. And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments. From sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more, Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Conducting Conversations. And I have with me in the studio this evening a very nice gentleman by the name of Tim Lehnert. Tim, is that close enough on the last name?
Close enough, yes.
Close enough. Tim is a writer and a very nice guy that I've just got to meet. And we're going to be talking tonight about a new book that is out that is of, I think, great interest to most people listening to this radio program, whether you're listening locally in Rhode Island or Southeast Connecticut or even Southeastern Massachusetts. Basically, we are a Rhode Island station, and Tim has written a book called Rhode Island 101. And we're going to find all out about that tonight. It's very, very interesting. I am a lifelong Rhode Islander, so I'm very, very indeed interested in some of the writings that he has in this book. And this is a little bit different show for us on WCRI, where, as you know, if you're listening to us, we normally have an artist of some kind that's going to play music. But you'll be amazed at how creative Tim has gotten. And we're going to be able to segue into music during the show because he's just that kind of guy. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you. And it's a rare opportunity, I guess, to play DJ. And the tunes, like you said, that we're going to play are, have some tie-in to the book.
We'll figure all that out as we go along. That's great. And tell us a little bit about your background as a writer or where you're from or how you started, any way you want to pick that up.
Okay, well, I'm originally from Montreal. I can't claim to be a native Rhode Islander, I guess, unless you want to call Montreal Northern Rhode Island.
Yeah, well, hey.
And I live locally in Cranston, married, and I have two daughters, and I'm a writer and editor, and this book is something I worked on for about a year for a company called McIntyre Purcell, and I'd done work for them, project management and editing, and basically said to them, look, we got to do a Rhode Island book. They'd done them on other, on Canadian provinces and metro areas, and I more or less insisted that we do a Rhode Island book, and here it is.
So is this the first of what might hope to be a series of different kinds of things
it
like
is
this?
The first one, yes, in the U.S. I know they're going to come out with books shortly on Vermont and Maine, but this is the
okay.
First U.S.
Great.
101.
Now, this is kind of a gathering of information on your part. As you mentioned, you're not a lifelong Rhode Islander, so a lot of people wouldn't consider you a Rhode Islander, but that's, you know, there's nothing you can do about that.
That's okay.
But what you've done here is gather a lot of very interesting things. And tell us a little bit, how do you start a project like this? Where do you go?
Well, the title of the book, Rhode Island 101, Everything You Wanted to Know About Rhode Island and We're Going to Ask Anyway, tells you a little bit if you look at it. It's a little bit of a crash course, kind of a local insider's guide. And there's 13 chapters. It ranges everything from a timeline to politics and the economy to slang, food, weather, culture. So natural world, it's all in there. Mm-hmm. And it's 13 chapters. It's a small book. It's only 248 pages. So really the essence of this thing was to distill these fairly large topics into little chunks, little lists, little
right.
Bite-sized essays, quotes, lists of five. And one of the ways I did it is I got a lot of guest stars. There's 26 people in here who I asked various famous Rhode Islanders mm-hmm. and experts to chip in with lists of five.
So someone might be an expert in their own field, like a weatherman doing a story about the weather or that type of thing.
Precisely. And not just any weatherman. So Tony Petrarca gives his five reasons what makes it difficult to forecast the weather in Rhode Island. Uh-huh. John Giorsi, who I'm sure many people know, who's
sure.
On the airwaves here for about 40 years, I think,
yeah,
in Rhode Island.
Just retired, yeah.
Yep, just retired. He gave his five most memorable weather events.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're in the weather chapter, and we have Arlene Violet, who is well known to people who listen to the radio in Rhode Island.
Or as Charlie Hall would say, Arlene.
Arlene, yes, yes. She gave a list of memorable moments as Attorney General, when she served as Attorney General, and that's in the crime chapter.
Mm-hmm. So it just, again, it's one of those things where you could go on and on. You could take any one of those subjects and probably do a book on Rhode Island weather, for example.
Oh, absolutely. You could definitely
do an encyclopedia on Rhode Island crime history.
Absolutely. I mean, even subtopics, you know, there might be a paragraph on baseball.
Yeah.
You know, mentions the Paw Sox and the Providence
sure.
Rays. Of course, there is a book on Rhode Island baseball. And so any of these things have been covered more exhaustively elsewhere.
Right.
But the idea with this is to put them in one place and try to make the information, you know, kind of fun, accessible, where you can just dive in, get a little piece, and go out. And I don't know. I'm hoping if people are motivated, they may go on and read further on these topics.
You know, I mentioned a minute ago Charlie Hall. And interestingly enough, Charlie was one of the very first people on Conducting Conversations a couple of years ago. And we had a great time with him, and I guess he's probably a Rhode Island institution in himself. And I noticed that the first piece of music that you selected to play for us today has something to do with Charlie Hall, right?
Absolutely. It is Rhode Island's It For Me, which is the state song, the official state song. And the music is by Maria Day. It's arranged by Catherine Chester. And the lyrics were written by Charlie Hall, who, as you know, is a kind of a one-man dynamo of comedy and
right.
music and storytelling. And
all right, well, we'll listen to Rhode Island's It For Me, the official state song, and then we'll come back with some more information about Rhode Island 101.
I've been to every state we have, but I think that I'm inclined to say that roadie stole my heart. You can keep the 49. Herring gulls that dot the skies, blue waves that paint the rocks, waters rich with Neptune's life, the boats that line the docks. I see the lighthouse flickering to help the sailors see. There's a place for everyone. Rhode Island's it for me. Rhode Island, oh Rhode Island, surrounded by the sea. Some people roam the earth for home. Rhode Island's it for me. I love the fresh October days, the buzz on College Hill. Art that moves and light it here, a jeweler's special skill. Icicles refract the sun, snow falling gracefully. Some search for a place that's warm. Rhode Island's it for me. Rhode Island, oh Rhode Island, surrounded by the sea. Some people
song, our official state song. It's a very nice thing to start off the show with. We have so many subjects. When I was thinking about doing this show with you, my mind was whirling where, well, should we start here? Should we try to go through it in chronological order? All the questions I might have had for you probably boil down to, you know, I'm sure you've done lots of other interviews and people say to you, is there a most interesting part for you when you put this together?
I don't know about a most interesting part. Quite honestly, I found the whole thing very interesting, so much so that it becomes hard to put it down. You know, I mean, I had to really limit what I was going to put in it. It's a short book, and, you know, you could go off on all kinds of tangents. I mean, someone will talk about later the cow sills. I just find it a really, in terms of fun little facts, that they were the inspiration for the Partridge Family television show, and we'll talk about them later. And there's other more serious things. I think one of my favorites is that on the dollar bill, there is a picture of George Washington. And
right, this Gilbert is by Stewart.
Gilbert Stewart. And so we're all walking around with...
Do I get bonus points for knowing that?
You get bonus points, yes. And I don't think that's particularly obscure or anything like that. I'll give you 1 point, but I think it's kind of fun that we're all walking around, or most of us, if we got a little bit of cash in our pocket, with a picture by probably Rhode Island's greatest artist.
Right, right. Certainly one of the most famous ones at
Absolutely.
This point.
Absolutely. And I mean, he was not limited to Washington. I mean, he did portraits of all the presidents of the day and the leading military figures. And
Right, and Gilbert Stewart's birthplace is not far from our studio here in beautiful downtown Exeter.
And they have reproductions of Stewart's paintings there.
There you go. And, you know, there's so many things like that we could talk about. You could talk about Providence. You could talk about Westerly. You could talk about Newport. You could talk about Woonsocket. You could talk about all of the places in between. And all these interesting facts. So, I mean, it must have been, did you have some kind of a priority list where you said, well, we can't really talk about, you know, this fact, or we can't really go into that? How did that work for you?
Not really. I just had to discipline myself in terms of, in order to put the 13 chapters, that each chapter was going to have to be limited. And so there was no taboo subject. There was nothing that couldn't be broached.
Right.
But just in the interests of length. And there's no long essays in it. So, you know, what happens is I think I covered the major topics, but they're in a little shorter. You know, Roger Williams gets 350 words. Mm-hmm. You know, King Philip's War gets 350 words.
Yeah.
You know, slavery gets 350 words. Of course, these are big topics. So it was really the art of trying to be concise and boil it down.
And something I said to you off air was, it's not really, you don't really editorialize yourself. You pretty much present the facts as they're recorded in history, right?
I think so. I use pretty standard sources, newspapers and books to compile this. So I don't think there's anything... the editorializing, you know, for some of the guest stars I get, of course, I ask them their opinion.
Right.
So I think, for instance, I asked David Brissot of the Providence Journal his five favorite buildings in Providence. And if you've ever read his column, you know that he's not a big fan of
GTEC.
Of GTEC. He's not a big fan of any contemporary, or I won't say any, very little contemporary architecture, and definitely not modernist architecture.
Right.
And so he gave his five favorite buildings in downtown Providence, and he gave his five least favorite buildings.
Right.
And so I knew going in that was his. And that's his philosophy.
His
that's
opinion,
okay. I mean, it's
right?
his philosophy, and he certainly.
It's like anything else. You could ask your favorite color. One person could say blue, and one could say green.
Right. And I almost prefer that to somebody who's, you know, is going to tell you, here's the five most beautiful buildings in the state. Period. Well, we know his bias going in, and that's fine. So in that sense, there's it's somewhat obviously subjective the people I ask, but for the actual facts in there, you know, there's always what do you put in and what do you leave out, but I tried to make it you know, fairly balanced when you're talking about the economy or politics, not to
get too carried away.
Well, absolutely.
Right. And now this is a great, you know, I have a lot of out-of-town guests that come and visit me at my house frequently, and this is a perfect gift item for people that come in from out of town. So with that little segue, how do people go about getting this book?
Well, I have on my website, which is timlehnertonline.com, that's T-I-M-L-E-H-N-E-R-T, online.com, a list of places where you can buy it. There's a little tab, and it's pretty much the usual places. Barnes & Noble, Borders, local independent bookstores have it. You can get it online through Amazon and other retailers. So it's not hard to find, I hope.
And it's less than $100.
It's less than $100. It lists for $14.95, and I bet you if you bargain, you can get it for less.
So $14.95 is a great deal because you know, it's hard to find any books around that price. But it is a great source. I mean, it's one of those things that you could almost say almost every Rhode Island household should have one of these. Wouldn't that be great?
I'm fine by that. In fact, I'll even extend it further. And some of the people who've been interested in this are actually expatriates. And there's, you know, legions of Rhode Islanders who are in New York, Florida, Hampshire, Arizona, and often for a taste of home, this fits well because it brings up a lot of memories and
absolutely.
And it also it does try to be contemporary. I tried not to do too much of the you know, just having reminiscences, but I, you know, there's contemporary information in there, what's going on up to current. But of course, there's the old stuff. So Salty Brine is in there, and you know, these type of people are in there. They should be.
Now, speaking of expatriates, we do have a worldwide listening audience to this show. We know that because we get emails from Australia and from England and from California and all over the United States and other parts of the world, because we're streamed on the World Wide Web. So if you're one of those people that's listening to this, this would be a great memento. So you can go online and find out how to get it for your own self. Now, again, selecting the music, we talked about the different facets of Rhode Island. We started off with the official state song. And this next Rhode Islander that you're going to talk about was famous back in the 20s, right?
Yes.
And his name was George M. Cohan.
Right. And he's a guy who was born in 1878, and as a teenager, he was already out there playing with his family. They were a family of musicians, and he was already...
Vaudeville act,
mm-hmm. Yes, and he was writing songs and performing skits and writing jokes and appearing in reviews. So he's somebody who got a very early start, and then he went on not just to be a performer in his own right, but quite a big producer, a very wealthy man.
Right. And grew up in City of Providence,
yes.
Right? And became a famous writer and dancer and singer. And so we thought, what better way than doing what most people saw as James Cagney do in the movie of his Broadway life was to do a song that we have for you now called Over There.
Word over there that the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming, the drums run coming everywhere. And prepare, say a prayer, send the word to beware. We'll be over, we're coming over, and we won't come back till it's over over there.
Over there. The drums run coming everywhere. So prepare, say a prayer. Send the word to beware. We'll be over, we're coming over, and we won't come back till it's over over there.
You know, I'm reminded when I hear that singing, I'm reminded that last year, Theater by the Sea did a production called George M. And it was a lot of great singing and dancing at Theater by the Sea. And tell us a little bit more about the life and times of George M.
Well, I think you mentioned that James Cagney played him in a biopic, and I think that was 1942. And he died died that same year, as a matter of fact. And I think people now, anybody who saw the show, last year that you mentioned, he's probably best remembered now, I think, for Over There and for Yankee Doodle Dandy. And he had the kind of patriotic shtick.
Right.
He said he was actually born on July 3rd, but he always said that he was born on the 4th of July.
Born on the 4th of July.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
So he was, to me, what was really interesting is just doing a little bit of reading on him is that, and I'd heard those songs, the patriotic songs, and I didn't really mm-hmm. give it much thought beyond that. But to find out what an incredibly powerful guy he was, he owned a series of theaters in New York City, and he put on productions. And he was really somebody who, you know, we talk now, I mean, people talk about, you know, Michael Jackson just died, that, oh, he was a singer, dancer, writer. But, you know, Cohan was really a guy who was everything. I mean, he was a comedian. He was serious dramatic roles. He was
a real showman.
Yeah. From top to bottom, from you know, creating things himself to overseeing, you know, making money off other people's talent and just the whole package. It's sort of, I don't know if there's anybody today who's really comparable in terms of being that kind of versatility.
Yeah, it would probably be a lot different today if you, you know, with all the area of specialization.
Well, sure, I don't know if it's even really possible.
Right, you'd have an agent. I mean,
he preceded really the, he was around during the motion picture era, but that wasn't really his main focus. He was really more Broadway.
Yeah. You know, and we talk about theaters. We're very, very fortunate in Rhode Island. We have, you know, Trinity Rep. We have a lot of great regional theaters. I mentioned Theater by the Sea and two of the bigger buildings, the PPAC, Providence Performing Arts Center, and VMA, Veterans Memorial Arts and Cultural Center, are two that come to mind. Anything in the book about them?
Absolutely. There is a little piece on the VMA. We talked about it before that... kind of an interesting story in that it wasn't completed until 1950, and yet it was started in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically languished till after the war, and they finally got it.
The state took it over
exactly.
And finished it off, and
exactly.
Now it's a great performing space.
Exactly.
And then right next door to it is that what was, if you've lived in Rhode Island for a while, an eyesore, which is now the Renaissance Hotel.
And that had an even longer gestation period.
Right.
And that was the 1920s until 2007 it actually opened. And so
from that
period, it sat, as you said, just sat vacant.
Yeah, a long, long time. And something about PPAC in there also?
Yeah, there's a list. I put a list of, obviously there's so many theater companies and there's so many things to cover. They just couldn't make it in just because of, not because they weren't worthy, but just space. But I did mention top five Rhode Island theater buildings, one of which, of course, is PPAC.
Mm-hmm.
Another is Stadium Theater
in Woonsocket,
which is along the same lines of 1920s classic kind of theater palace. The Jane Pickens Theater and Event Center in Newport, which was constructed in 1834, but it was not converted to use as a theater until the 1920s.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't know that. You got one on there.
It's a good thing. I did not know that. Because there's not too many that you don't know. If you wanted to, you could call me out on a lot. It could be an embarrassing scene here, but I appreciate you're very gracious. And the Granite Theater in Westerly is another one. That's number four. And I should say it's a list of five. It's not like one. It's not number
there
one
no
to number,
number
five.
One,
they're
right.
Just five.
It just happens to be five.
Built in 1849. And a steeple was lost in the 1938 hurricane.
Oh,
of course, the 1938 hurricane figures into the weather chapter. But, of course, it had... you know, a big effect on the architecture, especially in the coastal.
Before we had named hurricanes like Carol and Edna and so forth, right?
Exactly. It had to be the 1938 hurricane.
Right.
Yes, exactly. And then last one I had, and it's certainly by no means an exhaustive list, was the GAM Theater, which is in the Pawtucket Armory, annex in Pawtucket.
So lots of great cultural spots in Rhode Island. And one of the cultural spots in Rhode Island, which wasn't an actual, well, I guess it was an actual building, but depending on how you look at it, I graduated, my high school graduation from Pilgrim High School happened to be raining that day. So they moved the graduation festivities to a place called the Warwick Musical Tent.
Right.
And that had a long history of great performers coming to Rhode Island, right?
Absolutely. And that closed in 1999. And it was even part of, if you saw the Smithsonian show, there was a traveling show from the Smithsonian on Rhode Island that was called Rhode Island Treasures that was at the convention center about 5 years ago. And the musical tent was even in there. Part of that show, which I thought was...
So it went from the musical tent in the early days to the musical theater.
Musical theater, right.
Right.
Right. But apparently, I guess people continued to call it the tent.
Yeah, the local people all call it the tent. Hey, how you know?
Right. Exactly. And so I mentioned that I asked various experts for lists, and one of the people I asked for a list was Larry Bonoff, and he was the
whose
producer.
Dad was Buster, right?
Dad was Buster Bonoff, and, you know, he started the business there, and Larry continued it. And closed in 1999. And so Larry gave me a list of his top five Warwick Musical Theater acts. The ones he personally liked. I mean, obviously there was hundreds and hundreds of people through there.
Correct, yeah.
And when you mentioned Charlie Hall, he was a warm-up act for a number of comedians who played there. In fact, I think he holds some record for most performances as a comic there or something like that.
Wow,
I don't know who's keeping the stats, but
I'm sure Charlie is.
I'm sure he is, right. But he figures in there as well. But he gave me his... top five Warwick Musical Theater acts, and then he also kind of did one for in honor of his father who passed away. Buster Bonoff passed away in 2000, so he gave me Buster's, you know, were he today, here's what he'd say. And here are the five. Number one was Jack Benny. And he explains them. I won't give you his explanation.
Don Wilson.
It's funny what he said about Jack Benny. He said that he said he was a kid when Jack Benny played there, and they went to dinner at the Great House Restaurant. In the area.
Sure, yeah.
And so
Post Road and Warwick.
I guess because you know, his father was a producer there. The stars would come, and then, you know, they sometimes get together and have a meal before or after the show. And so they went there, and so Jack Benny paid the check. And Larry Bonoff said, you know, maybe I wasn't such a, you know, smart kid, but I was astonished. I thought he was really cheap, you know. I couldn't believe it. There he was picking up the check. And he said, you know, that's when they said the light went on there that, you know, these people are, you know, they're performers, they're actors, right. They have a persona. And actually in real life, I mean, he wasn't.
They're not the same.
No, he grabbed the check and paid for it. He was not
actually.
It's
just actually, like Don Rickles is a missionary. No,
exactly.
I'm not kidding.
Exactly. You know, you need somebody to help you move, call Don Rickles, right. And he'll come right over because they'll do anything to help somebody out. But anyway, so Larry had on his list, yeah, Jack Benny is number one. And number two was Liberace, and number three, Mel Tillis. Number four, Vince Gill, Alabama, Reba McEntire, Brooks and Dunn. It was kind of a combination of country acts. And he's talked about how he was one of the first promoters.
Bring
Larry
that
was
to the
in,
area,
in the Northeast to kind of get out and bring in country performers when that was not that common in this area.
Right.
And then the last one he had was Johnny Carson, who rarely did stand-up gigs, but apparently did five shows in the late 70s as a favor to Buster Bonoff.
Wow, amazing. You know, we could take one of those and go to a segue to a piece of music. Certainly Liberace. We don't want to be listening to Jack Benny playing the violin, but
no.
But how about a little quickie with Liberace here playing the Beer Barrel Polka, and then we'll take a short break and be back with more of Rhode Island 101. Back on Conducting Conversations and having a very, very pleasant evening talking with the author of Rhode Island 101, which is everything you wanted to know about Rhode Island, and we're going to ask anyway. Tim, it's great to have you here. You know, it's one of those shows where we could talk for 6 hours and just barely scratch the surface. We were talking during the commercial break. Tim says, by the time we're done here, maybe they won't have to buy the book. But I think there's a lot more in this book than what we're talking
there's
about.
There's a lot in there, but consider this your podcast of the book.
Podcast of the book. Right. That's a great deal. We were listening to Liberace in that short piece playing the Beer Barrel Polka, and that kind of segues nicely into somebody else that was on your list, Country and Western Star, that was at the Warwick Musical Theater. And that's Mel Tillis, right? Mel Tillis.
Right, kind of a comic country singer. And Larry Bonoff, who was the producer at the Warwick Musical Theater, put him number three on his top five Warwick Musical Theater acts.
All right, well, we're gonna go quickly to Mel Tillis and listen to his piece, and then talk a little bit more, because we did get a little extended in that first segment. But we'll go now and listen to a song called I Ain't Never.
Well, I ain't never seen nobody like you. No, 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 never have I ever seen nobody like you. Lord, you call me up and say meet me at 9. I have to hurry, hurry, but I'm there on time. I walk right up and I knock on your door. Says she ain't here no more. I ain't never, oh darling, seen nobody like you. Whoop, whoop, but I love you. Yeah, I love you, girl. I love you just. You make me do things I don't want to do. My friends have asked me, tell you what's wrong with you. I ain't never, oh darling, seen nobody like you. Ooh, ooh, but I love you. Yeah, I love you, girl. I love you just the same. Love you just the same. Love you just the same.
There's sections on politics, there's sections, and one that I found very interesting is a section on Rhode Island's oddball attractions. Tell
right.
us about that.
Well, actually, it's not so much a chapter on Rhode Island's oddball attractions as it is a list from one of our guests, and this is Christopher Martin, who edits a website called Quahog.org.
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 All right.
And that's Quahog.org. And which won Best Local Website from Rhode Island Monthly, I think, in 2008. And he's a guy who just loves to get out and see the state and just track down weird oddball things, whether it's a mm-hmm. Wiener Palace or a graveyard or whatever the case is.
Right.
He likes to get out there. And so this is the type of person that you like to go to and get their input. So he gave us Rhode Island, his top five Rhode Island oddball attractions, and this is the man's specialty.
Okay.
So I'll give you a couple of them, because
right.
I don't want to give...
We'll give them all.
Give the whole thing.
Couple.
But one that I think is kind of cool and is very easy to see, especially if you're injured, is Florence Nightingale's nurse cap.
Hmm.
And that is in the Westerly Hospital lobby. And apparently, according to Christopher, I haven't got down there and looked at this myself, so you can see it 24 hours a day because it is, of course, a hospital. So it's not
right.
like a museum where you need to go between
no
10
admission.
And 4. No admission.
There
no admission.
Go. A free attraction. We can all go down to Westerly Hospital now.
Absolutely.
And see that.
Right. And I hope it's air conditioned in the hospital lobby and peer at the cap.
All right. And you got to give us number five. Tell us about number five on that
Number
list.
Five is a good one. It is the grave of John Rogers Vinton. And
oh, of course.
Of course, you say. And this is in Swan Point Cemetery on the east side, which is... home to, I don't know how many Rhode Island governors, or
sure.
now home to.
Yeah.
and not to mention H.P. Lovecraft,
yeah.
Naturally is buried there. And what happened there is this grave of John Rogers Vinton, and I'll just read from what Christopher wrote. Vinton's grave is topped by the very cannonball that killed him during the Battle of Veracruz, Mexico on March 22, 1847. And he notes viewable during regular cemetery hours.
So he's got the cannonball that killed him right on his headstone. That's pretty
yes.
cool. Pretty cool.
Yes.
All right. Those are some of the things. And there is tons and tons in this book. It is great. Great reading. And the kind of reading that you can do, like I love to read this kind of stuff where I could read for 20 minutes and then go to an appointment. I don't, and not feel like,
right.
You know,
and a lot of people said, it is, and it is the type of thing that you can pick it up. It's all short bites and put it down. People
right.
say, oh, it's good beach reading. It's good plane reading. I was like, that's good. I said, just don't say good bathroom reading. For some reason,
no,
I don't know.
No. We won't go there.
Yeah, no. I prefer to say good beach reading. I like the sound of that.
Reading is
yes.
nice. Okay.
Yes.
And I'll be doing a little beach reading this weekend. I'll bring this with me because I'll be at Block Island. And Block Island is mentioned in there as some of the spots out there. And Block Island reminds me of some of the other natural things. And one of the things that we talked about off air was this next group that's coming up, the Cowsills, that you mentioned earlier in the show. They were famous for a song called Indian Lake. And Indian Lake is just is a real place. It's not too far from our studio here. And you've selected a song that was one of those songs that people know the song, but they never really knew the title. At least I never knew the title of this. And the one I'm talking about is The Rain, The Park, and Other Things. And when you hear it, you'll recognize it. That's why Tim brought it to us.
I saw her sitting in the rain.
Oh, to say hello. She smiled up at me, and she took my hand, and we walked through the park alone. And I knew she had made me happy.
She had made me happy.
Flowers in her hair, flowers everywhere.
I love the flowers.
Oh, I don't know just why. She simply caught my eye.
I love the flower.
She seemed so sweet and kind. She crept into my mind.
To my mind.
Suddenly the sun broke through.
See the sun.
I turned around, she was gone.
We are back on Conducting Conversations, and we are having a great evening listening to some music that you probably have never heard on the classical station before, but it kind of ties into our conversation about Rhode Island 101. And Tim, you know, there's so many things in this book, so many areas that are touched on. One of the things that's very interesting to me is the ethnic history. Now, you mentioned that you were from Montreal, and my mother's family was from Gaspé Peninsula up in Quebec. And my father's family was, his grandfather was from Italy. So I have a little mix of myself of, Canadian there, eh?
Right,
and
sure.
And
sure.
A little Italian, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so we mix the two together and you get what I am now. But
right.
You have a section on Italian.
Right. I was just to interrupt, you share that distinction with former Governor Philip Noel,
uh-huh.
Who is French-Canadian and Italian.
See that?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. I'll have to call him up.
Call him up. Give him a ring.
But you have sections on ethnic
yes,
backgrounds.
Yes. The title of the section is The People. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got some stats on ancestry, the different ancestries in Rhode Island. Like you mentioned, and of course, you are represent two of the more prominent in Rhode Island, Italian and French-Canadian.
Right.
Irish, Portuguese are also prominent ones. So we've got a little piece on African-American Rhode Island, on Native peoples of Rhode Island, Latino Rhode Island, and just as touching on the major groups, of course, there's you know so many others, but those were the classic sources of immigrants to Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that leads us to, you know, trying to find some way to tie in some music to this show.
Sure.
And that leads us to a group that a lot of people might have forgotten about. Tell us about this next group you selected
well,
for us.
Tavares. And they are Cape Verdean Rhode Islanders. They grew up in the Fox Point section of Providence and in New Bedford, Mass. And I don't know if they've forgotten them because they were just playing at the Heritage Festival in East Providence.
Okay.
On the 18th of July. So
right.
They're still going. I don't know if all the members were playing, maybe 3/5 of them or something like
right.
that. But, you know, they had a number of hits, and one of them was More Than a Woman from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack in 1977.
Aha. I'm sure a lot of our audience remember Saturday Night Fever, so let's go to that now. More Than a Woman to Me.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get to listen to that whole song, but we got the flavor of it anyway. And I just want to thank you greatly for coming in and spending the evening with us and talking about Rhode Island and all of the great things, Tim. It's been great to talk to you and meet you. And I just want to say a little bit about the book so you'll have an idea of other things that are in there, because we couldn't possibly cover everything tonight. But there's in the table of contents, you talk about things like slang and essentials, cities and towns, people, the natural world, weather, culture, food, economy, then and now, crime and punishment, and of course, Rhode Island's favorite pastime, politics.
Right.
And so all of those 13 chapters are in the book, right?
Right.
And it was an amazing thing to put all this together, and I'm glad you did so. And we'll probably have to do another show.
Oh, I welcome it, and I think people really get a charge out of, at least I did, the guest stars, whether it's, you know, Bruce Sundland gives his 5 greatest achievements mm-hmm. while in office, or memorable weather moments of the last 40 years from John Giorsi. Mark Patinkin of the Providence Journal gives you 5 signs you've been in Rhode Island too long. So for me, that was, you know, there's a lot of stats, there's a lot of information in there, but there's a lot of just fun stuff.
Pleasurable things.
And things like that. And really, for me, it was a lot of fun talking to these different people and getting their, you know, getting their lists and then putting them in there.
People could buy this book and plan a whole weekend party around it, you know,
they
just
could.
talking about the different things. So I wish you all the best on this, and the book is available again. Tell us your website.
My website is timlehnertonline.com, and that's T-I-M-L-E-H-N-E-R-T online.com. But I'll make it simple. Just look for the title Rhode Island 101. And it will come up.
It'll come up if you Google that. And it's available at Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble, Borders, local independent bookstores. If you've got one in your town, support it. It's also
absolutely.
Available.
Support those bookstores.
Absolutely. It's also available online. So it's widely available.
All right. Well, it's great. I wish you all the success in the world with it. And look forward to talking with you again and doing a little bit more. You know, I think it would be a great idea, Tim. We've talked so much about the book. Why don't we give one away? Is that all right with you?
Please.
All right. Tim has agreed to give an autographed copy. Can we get you autograph it?
Yes.
All right. See, that I just keep pushing more and more.
That's right. That's a pretty easy demand. You know?
Okay.
If you want to lift home that, I won't do. But all right. I will sign a book.
But if you'd like to get an autographed copy of Tim's book, Rhode Island 101, just drop us an email to wcri@classical959.com, and we'll take all the entries we get. We'll put them in the hat and pull out a winner and send you Tim's book, Rhode Island 101. We're going to go out with a song that that I suggested we might end with, because it's one of my favorites. It's an artist that I don't think has any particular Rhode Island ties that's singing this, Michael Feinstein, but the song certainly is a popular Rhode Island tune called Rhode Island is Famous for You. See you next week, everybody.
Every state in the USA has something it can boast of, a product that the state produces the most of. Rhode Island is little, but oh my, they have a product anyone would buy. Copper comes from Arizona. Peaches come from Georgia, and lobsters come from Maine. The wheat fields are the sweet fields of Nebraska, and Kansas gets bonanzas from the grain. Old whiskey comes from old Kentucky. Ain't the country lucky? New Jersey gives us glue. And you come from Rhode Island, and little old Rhode Island is famous for you. Cotton comes from Louisiana, gophers from Montana, and spuds from Idaho. They plow land in the cow land of Missouri, where most beef meant for roast beef seems to grow. Grand Canyons come from Colorado. Gold comes from Nevada. Divorces also too. And you come from Rhode Island, Don't let them ride Rhode Island. It's famous for you. Pencils come from Pennsylvania, vests from West Virginia, and tents from Tennessee. They know mink where they grow mink in Wyoming. A camp chair in New Hampshire, that's for me. Minnows come from Minnesota, coats come from Dakota. But why should you be blue? For you, you come from Rhode Island. We'll sing about Rhode Island and dance it. You enhance it more than Providence, Newport, Narragansett. Rhode Island's famous for you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.